Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Could fail, including some in your community. The stock market would drop even more, which would reduce the value of your retirement account. The value of your home could plummet. Foreclosures would rise dramatically. And if you own a business or a farm, you would find it harder and more expensive to get credit. More businesses would close their doors, and millions of Americans could lose their jobs. Even if you have good credit history, it would be more difficult for you to get the loans you need to buy a car or send your children to college. And ultimately, our country could experience a long and painful recession. Fellow citizens, we must not let this happen.
And your dog will die, and the sky is falling. Anything? Did I leave out anything, guys? Gloom and doom. What about the locusts? Yeah, the locusts are coming. Good. This is Rick Roberts, setting in for Michael Savage. Michael, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. Always a pleasure to sit behind Michael's mic from time to time. You're on the Savage Nation. Of course, Psychological Nudity, the fifth book from Michael Savage, destined to be the fifth bestseller. We're going to be giving a few of those away in just a little while. Also, michaelsavage.com. You need to go there because the news is changing by the hour. News that will directly impact you and your family. So michaelsavage.com. Just make some time. Sit down and take a look. I go there several times every day, and you really need to take a look with everything changing so quickly. All right, 1-800-449-8255, 1-800-449-TALK. Well, that was Presidente Jorge Bush and his The Sky is Falling speech last night, trying to sell the American people on the amnesty for Wall Street. First, we had the amnesty for illegals. Now this is amnesty for Wall Street. Of course, they're meeting behind closed doors in the White House, all of these mental giants, because, you know, we're just too stupid to figure anything else out. I got to give you some of this from last night, because I was expecting much, much, much more from the President Bush last night on his little speech. I'm looking at this thing, and it just 5 days ago, the president said that the economic fundamentals of the United States remain strong. They're strong out there, really strong, yeah. And that we're really not all that bad off. But in 5 days' time, as of last night, he changed his tune drastically. Now, should this cause us to worry? You know what? Where Bush is concerned, it really doesn't matter to me. It matters to me where the country is headed. President Bush addressed Americans on the grave nature of the U.S. economy. You know, of course, he was on national television from Cross Hall, urging Americans and lawmakers to back an ambitious plan. It's ambitious. You know, I would just as soon he do every speech from now until the time he leaves office from Crawford. At least it's believable that way. You know, he wants us to give the federal government $700 billion. I can't quote him without talking that way. To bail out the country's collapsing housing and financial markets. I'm going to stop right there for a second. You know, I hope you know, that most of these financial institutions are not going to collapse if they don't get their $700 billion. You know that, right? I mean, these mortgages are just one facet of the lending institution's portfolio. Yeah, they'll take a bath on that, but they're not going to collapse. Basically, they have succeeded in dragging the American taxpayer under the auspice of the federal government into a bidding war to see how much they can get for this junk. That's basically what this is. But Bush, last night, speaking to the unwashed masses out here, our entire economy is in danger. The rescue effort is not aimed at preserving any individual company or industry. Bullcrap. It's aimed at preserving America's overall economy. It will help American consumers and businesses, and it goes on and on and on. Did you buy any of that? I mean, seriously, did you buy any of that? I was watching. I was almost yelling at the television. I thought after, you know, 10, 12 years in talk radio, I'd be past that. Evidently, I'm not. Yeah, the housing market's a wreck. And these companies that were in the business of buying and selling junk paper, you know, that facet of their business is a wreck. But did you hear what I said? That particular facet of their business, okay, not everything, but that facet of their business, that portion of their portfolio. You know, this is nothing more than a giant scam and scandal on the American taxpayer. That's what this is. Now, the Bush administration, whether you like him or whether you don't, and God knows I've got my problems with the Bush administration, you know, spending like drunken sailors from day one, no political will to secure the southern border in a post-9/11 world. I mean, it goes on and on and on and on. But these empty-headed liberals out there that say, well, you know, Bush brought this on. You know, I can take you through the timeline from 2001, 2002, 2003, 04, 05. And this administration consistently pushed for oversight, oversight, oversight. Who pushed back? The Democrats. Specifically, you know him, you love him. Well, some people do. Barney Frank and Schumer. Well, let me hear a little. Now, this is from, I think, 2003. I believe it's 2003. Again, the Bush administration is pushing for oversight because Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac is just growing too rapidly. And they're afraid the thing's going to get out of control. This is, and so they go in, they sit down, they have a session, and Barney Frank jumps up and says this.
Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are not in a crisis. The more people, in my judgment, exaggerate a threat of safety and soundness, the more people conjure up the possibility of serious financial losses to the Treasury, which I do not see. I think we see entities that are fundamentally sound financially and withstand some of the disaster scenarios. And even if there were a problem, the federal government doesn't bail them out. But the more pressure there is there, then the less I think we see in terms of affordable housing.
Yeah. In other words, that last little line, that was what he and Schumer and a few others were pushing. Get rid of the redlining. Everyone deserves a house, whether they're credit worthy or not. Everybody deserves a house. That was just one of at least seven times I've accounted for here where they pushed back and killed the legislation where the government wanted to give more oversight to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Hopefully you're not buying this. Hopefully you've done enough research. You've listened to Michael enough. You've been on the Savage Nation or michaelsavage.com. You've found other resources. Hopefully you're not buying into this. Paul in San Diego. Paul, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi, Paul.
How you doing?
Good.
Okay, here's what I think is going to happen. They're going to dump $1 trillion into the economy. Inflation is going to go through the roof. The Feds are going to have to raise the interest rate. There are millions of people that still have adjustable rate mortgages. This is going to be a self-fulfilling prophecy. This $700 billion problem is going to be a $2 or $3 trillion problem 2 or 3 years from now.
I think you're right, Paul, and I think you're right on several different levels. If they do this to the American economy right now, you might as well buckle in, because $700 billion is the proverbial tip of the iceberg. You know, I'm inclined to, I was talking with Daryl Issa this morning. Daryl's a great guy, and you don't amass that type of personal wealth without knowing, you know, which direction Wall Street is. And he's beside himself. You know, his bottom line was, look, these guys know the risk. They know what's going on going in. And those people, static I've received on this is from people that are involved in the markets very heavily. No, Rick, don't let it happen. Don't let it happen. Well, wait a minute. Just because Joe Blow down the street is heavily invested, why does that mean the guy on the across the street has to pay for it? No, of course not. You know, everybody that buys a stock, you're told up front, you know, this is a business of risk and you may lose the principal. And especially if you're with one of these institutions. But again, I don't know how to stress this enough. You know, if they don't get their $700 billion from you, they're not going under tomorrow. You know, their portion of the portfolio that they lent on, they were lending on home mortgages. Yeah, that's going to tank, but they're going to get it from somebody. Warren Buffett was talking earlier today. Basically, what's happened? They've pulled the federal government in to become part of the bidding process. How much can they get for this junk? That's what they're looking for. Jim in Chicago. Jim, you're on the Savage Nation.
Sir, I am so aggravated about this bailout. When you got big shots at Goldman Sachs and other companies making $100 million a month on bonus fees and salaries, a month. Guys like Corzine got elected spending $98 million to get elected. It's unbelievable.
I can't argue with you. I mean, it doesn't matter who is sitting behind the desk in the Oval Office. This is wrong any way you shape it up. This is basically amnesty for Wall Street, like Bush wanted amnesty for illegals. They're looking for us to pull them out of this. And I say no. You know, let them fall. They're not going to fall that far to begin with. And these businesses aren't going to disappear tomorrow. And I guess that's why I was so upset by Bush's speech last night. You know, he did everything but come to my house and tell me my dog died. And that's simply not the case. It's simply not the case. All right. 1-800-449-8255. 1-800-449-TALK. You're on the Savage Nation. Let's go to Tampa very quickly. Tampa, Clint. Clint, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. How you doing?
Hey, pretty good. Hey, I just wanted to say that if things get as bad as some people are saying, this would be a silver lining here. I think America, it has come time for America to experience a long term of hardship. In other words, I think a lot of Americans today need the values that the people that went through the Great Depression received because of doing it. And by doing that, and a lot of Americans coming back down to earth, I think it only make America stronger.
So you're basically saying we need to go through a period of economic disarray or meltdown, I guess, just to realize what we had to begin with.
Yeah, I would say that would be a good interpretation of that. I just think of a lot of Americans today are out of touch with reality and such, and I think it's time that America sobered up.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't I wouldn't disagree with that. It is time for America to sober up. Senator Kennedy, did you get that? Good. I'm glad. All right. Let me do a little business. We want to give a copy of Psychological Nudity away here in just a little bit. So be listening for that. That is Michael Savage's fifth book, and it is destined to be a bestseller just like the previous four. Also, michaelsavage.com. Don't forget to go there. It's important to go there today because of everything that's going on. As a matter of fact, I'm watching all the monitors to make sure nothing happens that we're not made aware of. So we'll have that for you and take your calls. We'll do that next. This is Rick Roberts setting in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Rick Roberts setting in for Michael Savage. You're on the Savage Nation. Michael, thank you for the opportunity once again. MichaelSavage.com, you need to make some time today to get there so you can see everything that's transpired in the last 24 hours. Also, Psychological Nudity, Michael's fifth book. We'll be giving you an opportunity to pick one of those up here in just a little bit. We're waiting with bated breath to see. Why do I get the feeling, with all these folks meeting at the White House to determine the bailout plan on the backs of taxpaying Americans, why do I get the feeling that I'm the defendant in some trial someplace, sitting on a hard wooden bench with my counsel, waiting for the jury to come back in the sentencing phase of my trial? Why do I feel that way? You know, I know a little bit about this. You know, in another life, I staffed and trained the asset examiners for Penn Square Bank. We processed upwards of 1,500 foreclosures a month out of various offices for Stewart Title and Tycor and Chicago Title and so on. You know, I've got more than a passing knowledge. I've saw what the FHA 235 loan did to neighborhoods all over America, turning them into barrios overnight. This is something that there are too many other alternatives other than jumping on the backs of the taxpaying citizens to get themselves out of this mess. We're just the easy mark. We're the easy mark, and that's why we're in the middle of this. Bakersfield, Ella, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. How you doing, Ella?
I'm doing good.
A delay here. That'll mess us up.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine. What's going on?
Well, basically, the first time I would like to comment and say, no, I didn't watch last night. I didn't listen because why? Why continue to be lied to? Because a nation is no better than the people that we have an authority over. and the people in authority over us thought so little of us that they're willing to drag us through the dirt to line their own pockets. So why? Why continue to be lied to?
Well, I think it's always good to know what you're up against. You know, I unlike you, Ella, I look at this country being made up of people like you, me, people listening to the Savage Nation. You know, that is the tone, the tenor, the flavor of the country. Now, the people that are in authority above us didn't get there by accident, Ella. They didn't, they didn't buy their way in. Well, I don't know. I could stand corrected on that count. But generally speaking, they had to garner enough votes to get in, right?
And that was another thing. I'm wondering, why has Mama called to have him impeached? Nothing.
I'm sorry, Ella. I'm having a tough time understanding you. Why what?
I'm sorry. Why has Mama called to have him impeached? Why has there been no investigations, like Dr. Savage has said before? Why has we're just now finding out about this? But they've been knowing this has been going on for years.
Well, this administration has been dealing with it since 2001. I'll give you that timeline. I keep forgetting to do that, but I'll do that. Ella, I like your style. How about a book? You want psychological nudity? Would you like to have that?
Of course. I'm a big fan.
Okay, you're a big fan. What's your favorite story of Dr. Savage's?
With Chuck Bell. I love the way he ended it. He's like, you're waiting on an ending for what? There is no ending. I thought that was hilarious.
There is no ending. You're right. Ella, you stand by just a second. We'll make sure you get a copy of Michael Savage's fifth book, Psychological Nudity. Let's go to Gulfport, Mississippi. Eric, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi.
Hey.
How you doing?
Just calling to make a comment about the stuff you're talking about.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, my opinion about this is that Americans have really lost touch with reality, and there is no personal responsibility anymore, and especially in Wall Street and in our government. If any American ran their checkbook like they run this country, we wouldn't make it 30 days. And I'm embarrassed to see how our government is acting and how Wall Street's acting.
Well, first of all, Eric, we couldn't make it 30 days. We'd be in jail for check kiting, just one of many offenses that our government seems to get a pass on. But I agree with you in principle. And it's time the American people took their government back. This is Rick Roberts setting in for Michael Savage. You're on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Rick Roberts setting in for Michael Savage, and you're on the Savage Nation. Michael, thank you for the opportunity once again. Always a pleasure. Michael Savage's fifth book, Psychological Nudity, we'll be giving more of those away. Also, michaelsavage.com. I want you to go there. Take some time. It'll be well worth your time. So much has changed in the last 24 hours since the sky is falling speech by President Bush. Go to michaelsavage.com. All of it is right there for you. And we're going to be bringing you up to speed on some things that have just transpired in the last hour or so. But Michael had a brilliant idea the other day. It was brilliant. If the ordinary American on Main Street, you know how they've now segregated us Main Street to Wall Street. Well, Michael was looking at this and said, look, if the ordinary American on Main Street can't get a loan without collateral, why should Wall Street be able to do it? I mean, make the people who want the bailout put up their own assets to help themselves. Now, if you haven't heard Michael talk about it, you need to hear it again. It's that important, all right? In Michael's own words, listen.
These gentlemen are telling us to give them a check for $1 trillion with nothing down. I'm saying, wait a minute. If I go to a bank for a loan, I got to put up some collateral to get something, don't I? So if I went to a banker and said, I want $100,000, and he'll say to me, well, okay, what do you have for collateral? And I say X, Y, and Z. So what percent is that? He said, well, I'm sorry, I can't give you the loan unless you give me a 10% down, 20% down, right? What would you get from a bank today? Do you know of a banker who would give you money for nothing down? No, nobody in the world. So they'd say you need to put up 10%, 20%. So what's 10%? Equal to? Well, let's run the numbers together. Now, listen to what I'm talking to you. You don't need a math degree to understand this. Paulson is selling a bill of goods that's fraudulent, in my opinion. Bernanke is a stooge who looks like he should be in a Barbasol ad in the night. He should be on the side of a road holding up a Barbasol sign saying, you need a shave, and so do I. If it was up to me, I'd strip them of their assets and put them on roadsides around America on a rotating roadshow. Paulson, Bernanke, Cox, Morgan Stanley, and Goldman CEOs would be made to go around the country in the back of a wagon, holding up, wearing a barrel around their waist, saying, "I am a liar and a thief." But then we don't live in China. We live in America, where the biggest gangsters get away with virtually anything they want. That's how it works, in my opinion. Now, I realize this language is too harsh for all of you polite folks out there. You don't like harsh language. You like polite. You like media talk, something that's easy listening, something that doesn't grate you. You don't want gruff. You don't want angry. You want something light and easy. Well, I'm giving it to you light and easy. So love by the sewer plant is what they're trying to give you right here. Let us start again. They want $1 trillion. I'm saying let them put up the buildings they're in. Morgan Stanley inherited the Bear Stearns building, which was estimated to be valued at $1 billion in Manhattan. It's prime real estate. They got it for about $100 million. But let's say it's even $1 billion. Now take the houses that Paulson owns, Bernanke owns, Cox owns, the directors of Morgan, the directors of Goldman. Now you add up, let's say, okay, all right, Mr. Goldman, step before here the committee. This is Michael Savage. How much is your real estate worth in the Hamptons? Don't give me double. Don't go. How much is that house worth that you have in the Hamptons on the ocean? It's 100 feet in the Hamptons. It's worth $63 million. Your townhouse in Manhattan is worth $39 million. Your apartment in Boca Raton is worth $12 million. The house you have in Switzerland is worth $9 million. The Vail real estate you have next to Dianne Feinstein is worth $32 million. You have a Gulfstream 5 worth $65 million and assorted other real estate holdings. Now, you add that up from Paulson's ownership, Bernanke, Cox, Morgan Stanley directors, and Goldman directors. My figure is it's not more than $5 billion. Why shouldn't we force them to collateralize this $1 trillion loan with their own real estate if they're so sure that they know what they're doing? You say, well, how the? Well, because look at the number. They want $1 trillion. I'm saying put up $5 billion of your own real estate. It's 0.5%. Did you hear what I said? It's not 5%. It's not zero. It's not 5% down. So that would be like you going to a bank to borrow 100 grand, and the banker says, sure, I'll give you 100 grand. But you know what? You have to put up $500. Now, do you know anybody listening to this show who wouldn't get $500 to get 100,000? So why should we ask any less of these guys? We're asking them the equivalent of 500 per 100,000, which is $5 billion of real estate holdings. Why didn't you hear that? Instead, I heard sugar-coated questions from Republicans were full of fire and brimstone. They became New Testament beholders. They were from the Old Testament when the cameras were on. They were flaming Old Testament zealots when the cameras were on at C-SPAN. When the cameras moved on to something else, like some slut on Sunset Boulevard who pulled up her dress and said she's a lesbian, suddenly they became like New Testament testimonials, which was shocking. All right, so 0.5% down, Mr. Burnett, whatever your name is, Mr. Paulson. If we had a just government, the federal marshals would have been doing the questioning now in a holding cell with a lamp swinging over their head with a rubber truncheon.
You can't get more plain than that. You can't get any more down to it than that. And you know what? I'm almost sorry now. Michael suspended his campaign to run for the presidency. I mean, he's right. He's absolutely on point, on every point. I mean, you couldn't do this to save your soul. There's no way a private citizen, anyone in the private sector, could do this. And the only reason we're being dragged into this is because of the federal government. Because of the federal government, pure and simple, Wall Street welfare. Billings, Montana, Daniel, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, hi. My two points are that I am extremely sick and tired of hearing about how our political representatives, the American people's employees, being referred to as our leaders. They are not my leaders. They are my representatives. They are my employee as an American citizen.
You know, Daniel, that's an excellent point. Just because someone holds an elected office does not necessarily, and in many cases, They are not leaders. They lead nothing. They occupy a space. It's a warm body taking up space, a functionary, if you will, from point A to point Z. Leadership is a very rare thing. And leadership is one of those things that you know it when you see it. And most of these politicians are not leaders. They are filling a vacuum at this moment in history. That's all. But they are, in fact, by definition, elected representatives, but very few of them represent anything other than their own seat at the table of governmental power. Bob, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi, Bob.
Yes.
Hello, Bob. Yes, Bob, go ahead.
My point is everybody's forgetting what's going to be the 2 to 3 year term effect. Either they're going to have, people are going to have to, in their communities are going to have to buy these homes and utilize it to keep their home values up, or they're going to take it to the late '70s and turn them into HUD housing, pulling all these parasites out of New Orleans and Houston into these homes, therefore running the value of their neighbors' homes down to the ground. Before it's said and done, we'll have $1 homes where we've got to go back in, buy them, and rebuild them just to pay the property taxes on them.
Well, Bob, that's right. And that's what happened in the late '70s and the '80s with the housing crisis. Then the FHA 235 home loan, quite honestly, was designed for people that shouldn't have been trying to finance a used pickup truck, let alone a three-bedroom house. And what happened? The foreclosures went through the roof. The people that lived in those neighborhoods, if they lived to be 210, they still wouldn't see their property value come back. So what happened? You go to back to those places, and they're slums. They're absolute slums. And you can thank Barney Frank and Schumer in large part for bringing us to the precipice right here because of the redlining. You know, God knows that all Hispanics and black people and other minorities were disproportionately not represented in the home ownership. It couldn't be because they weren't credit worthy. It had to be because they were being discriminated against. At least that was Barney Frank and Schumer's opinion at the time. So they blocked any oversight legislation whatsoever on Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Now look where we are. You know, I'm sorry, not all people can have all things. You know, people are different. And I'm not talking about physical characteristics. I'm talking about character, character, character. Some people I wouldn't loan $5 to. Somebody else, I'd give them anything they want because I know they're good for it, and they get back on their feet, and they're going to pay me back every dime plus interest without even being asked. I'm sorry. Nowhere in the Constitution that I can find. Let me look. I got the whole Constitution right here. Maybe it's on this page. No, maybe it's on the next. I don't see anything in here that guarantees every American a constitutional right to own a home. Nowhere, and I've looked. It's not there. All of this touchy-feely, free-to-be, you-and-me, hug-a-tree, tofu-chomping, knuckle-dragging, mouth-breathing, Volvo-driving, ponytail-wearing, longboard-riding nonsense, which is, well, we all need to have the same things. Well, not if you want to live in a free democratic society. It'll never work that way. Now, if you want to live in a socialist state or a communist country, fine. Then everybody will have the same thing. It'll all be crap, but everybody will have the same thing. Maybe that's what we're shooting for. Maybe that's it. Ann Arbor, Michigan. Amy, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. How you doing, Amy?
Hey, I'm doing fine. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
Also, I'm like a brand new listener. But first of all, I totally agree with you. I'm against welfare for Wall Street. Second of all, where I live in the country, the housing is, I just want to make one short comment about the housing market, because believe it or not, I'm on my way to church. The houses here have been totally overinflated for 12, maybe 15 years. What people have been doing is using their houses like ATM machines.
Exactly.
And that's also one of the reasons why the housing market is so screwed up. It's not just, you know, making sure everybody in South Central LA has a house, you know, but everybody throughout the entire country. They've bought these huge houses that they don't need, and they keep refinancing, and now they're stuck with the price.
Yeah, it's not too much different than a drug dealer and a drug addict type dynamic at work here. You know, people get into these homes, all of a sudden the value goes up, they refinance, take money out, they got a new boat. It goes up again, they refinance, get money out, got a new car. Refinance, take money out, you know, they go on a trip. And then all of a sudden we come. See, what people don't realize, the housing market also always corrects itself. So if you're sitting in a $400,000 home that you have a market value of $800,000, tick-tock, baby, it's going to happen, and the bottom's going to fall out. You're going to be sitting on a house you can't sell for what you owe, and that's what they're talking about right now. They're talking about that in Washington. Well, maybe, I don't know, maybe we can discount everything. Well, discount what? What about the free market system? Does that not mean anything to anyone? What about the free market? This thing will correct itself. All this is a scam on the American taxpayer. That's what this is. The spoiled brats on Wall Street, they don't want to take a hit. They don't want to see a devaluation of their assets, and they're not willing to live with the consequences of their own actions. They want you to. And every politician up there is going, yes, amen, I this is the way. By the way, is this my good side? Okay, be sure and photograph me from this side when I say I voted for the plan, all right? Yeah, all those cameras over there, from this side. This is where I look more stately. Yes, sort of like Barack Obama. They put the teleprompter way up high, so it appears when he's talking like he's looking out above the multitudes up in the heavens for some word from the spiritual beyond. It's the same kind of garbage, exactly the same kind of garbage. You know, they took the risk. They lost. They ought to live with it. You know, don't make your bad day my bad day. I guess that's what I'm saying. This is Rick Roberts setting in for Michael Savage. Michael, thank you for the opportunity, and you're on the Savage Nation.
I'm not sure what the program is anymore after both Paulson and Bernanke have dealt exclusively with the Democratic leadership in the Financial Services Committee over in the House of Representatives. I don't believe bailing out the bad risk takers on Wall Street is the way to salvage the Main Street people.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. This is Rick Roberts setting in for Michael Savage. Michael, thank you so much. And you're on the Savage Nation. 1-800-449-8255. How many times and how many different ways can we say this is wrong? It's a scandal on America. It's a scam on the American taxpayer. The politicians should know better. How many of them actually do, I don't know. You know, I was talking with someone about this. Just because someone has been elected to a particular office, somehow, some way, they've been able to convince the American people that they're all-knowing, that they're wise sages. Chances are, you're as informed and as intelligent as anybody in elected office. Just because they set in a position does not, they don't automatically just smarten up. I mean, they truly don't. And that's one of my mantras. You know, don't assume just because somebody has a title, well, assemblyman or congressman or senator or this, that, or the other thing, that all of a sudden he's so much smarter than you are. That's not true. You know, a great, great story I'd forgotten about, and Michael brought it back. Do you remember some years back an outfit called Green Tree Financial Corporation? It was amazing. You know, they shot in the stratosphere by making 30-year mortgages. Now, listen, they made 30-year mortgages to buyers of trailer homes. Trailer homes. From 1991 to 1997, a span in which Green Tree's chief executive, get this now, the numbers will boggle your mind. From 91 to 97, Green Tree's chief executive was paid $200 million. The company's stock shot up 30-fold. But since all the relevant players at Green Tree made their money by signing off on loans, nobody paid attention to the, well, inconvenient fact that trailer houses, unlike normal homes, don't increase in value over the long run. On the contrary, trailers depreciate pretty quick, maybe 10 years, 12, maybe 15 at the outside. Not quite enough time for a 30-year loan to be paid off, right? So after just a few years, the Green Tree borrowers discovered that they owed far more than the underlying asset was worth. Now, why didn't we bail this guy out? I mean, did he not scratch the right politician's back? Maybe that was the problem. I mean, this is the cardinal sins of bad strategy based on the analysis. That's what you're dealing with here. And the American taxpayers should not be held accountable in any way, shape, or form. As a matter of fact, I mean, if you're heavy into the stock market, you knew what you were getting into when you got into it. You truly did. You know, how dare you look at your neighbor and say, hey, give me a hand. You wouldn't do that, but that's essentially what the government's doing right now. Jerry, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Hey, this is it's Jerry. I want to say that I want these people to fail for the simple reason that the cream will rise to the top. It's been that way throughout our history. Only 28% of the people fought for the Revolutionary War. If we let these people fail, then the cream's going to rise to the top here, and we'll be a better country.
Well, I don't know about the country in general, but certainly Wall Street will have to get their act together if they want to stay in business, and I don't see anything wrong with that. Bottom line is, I don't see anything wrong with a person, with a company, with an entity having to live with the consequences of their actions. You know, taking Bush's "the sky is falling" speech last night aside, I'm sorry. I don't believe that, towns are going to blow away like a grapes of wrath. I don't think that's going to happen. I'm pretty sure we're not all going to be out there with signs, "We'll work for food." I mean, that's essentially what Bush was saying last night. I don't believe it. And you know what? The housing market will correct itself just like it always has. Again, you have to go back to the root problem. The root problem is a bunch of spoiled brats on Wall Street that don't want to take a hit, that don't want to take a devaluation. They want to keep moving ahead. Well, you know what? That's not the way life works. Sometimes it works out for you. Sometimes it doesn't. You change your strategy, regroup, maybe save a few bucks and start again. And you know what? That's how businesses stay in business, not what they're doing right now. You know, this thing that's going on right now in the White House is just an abomination. We'll have the very latest for you in just a second. I'm Rick Roberts, sitting in for Michael Savage. You're on the Savage Nation.
Warning, the Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
This is Rick Roberts, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Always a pleasure, and really look forward to the opportunity to sit in for Michael from time to time. Toll-free everywhere, 1-800-449-8255, 1-800-449-TALK, michaelsavage.com. You got to get there sometime today. A lot of information pouring into michaelsavage.com. Also, psychological nudity. We're going to give you a chance to pick up Michael's fifth book, destined to be a bestseller. Well, at least Washington is recognizing the fact that most voters do not want to bail out Wall Street moguls. I just saw them say that, and I thought to myself, well, thank you for finally getting it. Most voters don't want to bail out Wall Street moguls. All right, well, thank you for pointing out the painfully obvious. Next, Shelby is accusing Bush of rushing. Well, of course they're rushing. He doesn't want a replay of the amnesty for illegals, last year when he went on the Bush Unplugged tour coast to coast. Well, they're just putting family on their food, see, or food on their family, or family food, or something like that. Anyway, they're doing jobs Americans won't do, which is absolutely categorically false, except in geographic locations where illegals are welcomed. All right? So that didn't fly. And they know that if they don't get this pushed through very, very quickly, the American taxpayer, the American citizens will rise up and say, no, no, sorry. Uh-uh, we're not doing that. And I don't know that Washington can afford us too much more time. Because basically what I've heard is a lot of anger. A lot of anger, a lot of angst, and a lot of people saying, you know, I'm not going to stand for this anymore. Now, they have come to an agreement. Congressional Republicans and Democrats within the last hour came to an agreement on principle for the Treasury's Troubled Asset Relief Program. So I thought I'd give you that and let you comment, because you don't want to hear me comment. It includes sections on taxpayer protections, which is ludicrous because we're getting screwed to begin with. Oversight, transparency, ownership, preservation, blah, blah, blah. Here are the agreement on principles. Number one, taxpayer protection. We want to protect the taxpayer. Requires the Treasury Secretary to set standards to prevent excessive or inappropriate executive compensation for participating companies. All right? Now this is what the Republicans and the Democrats have agreed on thus far. Basically, they're saying, well, we need to take a look at those CEO salaries and CFO salaries and board president salaries and so on. Well, a day late and a dollar short on that. That's A. B, to minimize risk to the American taxpayer, requires that any transaction include equity sharing. In what? This is worthless paper to begin with. C, requires most profits to be used to reduce the national debt. Keyword there is most and profit. Two, oversight and transparency. Oh, this is good. A, Treasury Secretary is prohibited from acting in an arbitrary or capricious manner or in any way that is inconsistent with existing law. Blah, 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 blah. B, establishes strong oversight board with cease and desist authority. They've been trying to do that since 2001, thanks to Barney Frank and Schumer and a few others. They stuck the mop handle in the spokes of the bicycle wheel every single time. Now they get it. C, requires program transparency and public accountability through regular detailed reports to Congress, disclosing exercise of the Treasury Secretary's authority. All right, that you think that's going to help you? They're going to give a report. They're going to throw a report on Congress's desk. Okay, there we go. We gave you your little report. Do what you will with it. D, establishes an independent inspector general to monitor the use of the Treasury Secretary's authority. Anything here make you feel better about the bailout? Just checking. I mean, stop me if anything here. Okay. Well, now it's all right. Now I don't have a problem. E, requires the GAO audit to ensure proper use of funds. We're going to a government bureaucracy and telling them, you better use those funds properly. Oh, okay, I will. Good. See you next year. Appropriate internal controls. So home ownership preservation. They've agreed on this thus far. Maximize and coordinate efforts to modify mortgages for homeowners at risk of foreclosure. Some of those homeowners should be foreclosed on. They didn't have any business getting the houses in the first place. Loan modifications for mortgages owned or controlled by the federal government. Same answer, same deal. Directs a percentage of future profit to the Affordable Housing Fund. Well, this is just going to fund another government bureaucracy. Funding authority. Now, this part, I fell out of my chair when I read this just about 30 minutes ago. Treasury Secretary's request for $700 billion is authorized with $250 billion available immediately and an additional $100 billion released upon his or her certification that funds are needed? Wait. You want $250 billion now, you'll get another $100 billion if the funds are needed. Well, why are we doing this in the first place? Why is this not called the $250 billion bailout? The final $350 billion is subject to a congressional joint resolution of disapproval. This is basically political speak for we're screwing the taxpayers. We're going to give you $250 billion right off the bat, and if you need it, another $100 billion. Well, wait a minute. Obviously, they think they need it, or there wouldn't be a $700 billion bailout. Again, I am more worried now than I was before they all got together this afternoon at the White House. Eric, thanks for waiting. you're on the Savage Nation. Hi, Eric.
Yes, hi. I'm just calling from Gulfport, Mississippi. I'm a small business owner.
Yes.
Down here. And
I had been cut off earlier, but I just wanted to comment that where's the personal responsibility that is expected out of everybody in America that is just a regular Joe? I mean, if we don't pay our bills, they come and shut our power off, they shut our water off, they take our house, they come repo our car. Why is it that the government and all these people on Wall Street live in a fantasy land where if they make mistakes, they're not accountable for it?
Well, Eric, it's obvious you don't understand the basic fundamental of government, which is they are above the unwashed masses. You know, we tote the note, and they do whatever they see fit, whether it's a bridge to nowhere or creating more government bureaucracies that funded with taxpaying dollars. See, you don't realize, Eric, the government thinks you're an idiot. All right, they think you're a knucklehead, and you're out there working your tail off. And you get your little savings account over here, and you get your little, 401k thing going over there. And every April 15th, they come knocking on your door, and they treat you like a queen for the day. And you write them a check, and then they go off again. And then when it's re-election time, they will tell you absolutely anything you want to hear in order to keep their seat at the table of power. See, the federal government believes, they truly believe they are a monarchy. They truly, 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 truly believe that they know best. They know best how to govern your life. How to tell you where to spend your money and how much you should spend your money. We've lost it. You know, I went on that rant about I want my country back, and one of the first things was we need to make these people, we need to make them accountable. We need to stop advocating our responsibility to a bunch of elected officials that aren't any smarter than you are. But thanks for getting it, because that's the fundamental, that's the core problem here. New York, Ira. Ira, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi.
Hi, this is Ira from New York, and I'd like to say that I think the press and everyone is sort of focusing all of this on Wall Street, the bailout, but I think there's a greater danger that they have to address, and it might not just be about Wall Street. I think it's about all the retail banks out there that are going to go belly up, and the FDIC insurance has about $15 billion in it. That's only going to cover a couple more banks once they go belly up. What's going to happen to that? This is all a Main Street problem, which I think is getting blamed on Wall Street disproportionately.
Well, the FDIC has already put a request in for $150 billion for that very reason. Oh, by the way, the big three automakers got a $25 billion hit to come up with a better technology and more efficient cars. All that's going on while we're distracted looking at the White House. FDIC, yeah, that makes sense. FDIC is an insurance vehicle, and I think it warrants our attention, and it warrants, funding if necessary. You know, your accounts are insured up to $100,000 per account, and yeah, if the FDIC is in trouble, then that directly affects Main Street. It directly affects Main Street. But even that, Ira, can be worked out with a stroke of a pen. You know, a lot of this has to do with accounting rules. You know, why were we not in this, verge of depression back in the 80s when the same exact thing happened? Because the accounting rules were different. That's why. Again, you could take care of this with a stroke of a pen, but that's not what Wall Street wants. They don't want that. They want your money. The government's getting it. They want it. San Antonio, John. John, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi, John.
How you doing?
Good.
Everybody needs to wake up and see what's happening with the bailout and everything. The government is slowly but surely taking everything away from us as far as financial and all our rights. And it's slowly but surely becoming a dictatorship. And like you said, they think they're monarchy. They're supposed to be working for us, not for themselves. And Obama's already trying to do it. You know, he don't fly the American flag on his campaign plane. He don't wear the American flag. So we're already, it's been in the beginning stages years back, but people need to wake up and see what's going on.
Well, they need to wake up and they need to vote. And too many people have been conditioned to think my vote doesn't count, one person's voice doesn't matter. You know, Michael calls it an oligarchy, and he's absolutely right. That's exactly what's going on here. But you can't afford, unless you're planning on packing up and moving to New Zealand or something, you can't afford just to give up, throw your hands in the air and say, forget it, it won't work, we're done, it's over with, we passed the point of no return. Again, I say this, it's become cliche, these people didn't get their jobs by accident, someone voted them in. Now, when I listen to people like Barney Frank and Schumer and Maxine Waters and all the rest, when I listen to these people, Barbara Boxer, Pelosi, when I listen to these people for more than 5 or 10 minutes, I shake my head. The thing that discourages me most is the fact that these people keep getting reelected. That means that there's an empty-headed constituency out there that is willing to follow them down any ridiculous liberal path. That is much more discouraging and much more scary, I might add, than any one politician. But you can't give up. You can't give up. Why am I voting for McCain? Not because I think he's the best GOP pick, not by a long shot. I don't want Obama in the White House. I don't want a socialist in the White House. I don't want a president that surrounds himself with domestic terrorists. That's why I'm voting for McCain. Not because I'm enamored with McCain, not by a long shot. I just don't want a socialist verging on a communist to occupy the Oval Office. Of course, that's just me. I'm Rick Roberts, setting in for Michael Savage. You're on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Rick Roberts, setting in for Michael Savage. And, Michael, thank you so much for the opportunity once again. Always great to be in the Savage Nation with you. MichaelSavage.com. I was just there during the break. You've got to go there. Make some time today to go to MichaelSavage.com with all the breaking stories around the Wall Street welfare. You've got to go to MichaelSavage.com. That'll keep you abreast of the very latest information. Also, Michael's fifth book, Psychological Nudity. We'll be giving another book or so away. So be listening for that. 1-800-449-8255. 1-800-449-TALK. Have they come to an agreement? No, not yet. Just an agreement in principle. The Republicans and Democrats, basically what they're all doing is setting in makeup so they can look their very best when they come out in front of the cameras. And yes, I care about the American people. I feel their pain. No, you don't. If you felt our pain, if you lived our lives, if you lived in our reality, you wouldn't dare come ask us to bail out Wall Street. No amnesty for illegals, no amnesty for Wall Street. It could be taken care of with a stroke of a pen to rewrite the accounting rules. There are many other alternatives to this thing other than coming back to the taxpayer. But Bush is being accused by Shelby of trying to rush this through. Well, of course he's trying to rush it through. The quicker it goes through, the less time the American taxpayer, the people that are going to be paying for this, have time to rise up and say, no, we don't want this. Yes, they finally admitted just a little while ago, well, gosh, man, imagine this. The American taxpayers don't want us to bail out Wall Street moguls. What's wrong with them? I'll tell you what's wrong with us. Way too much government for way too long. Eugene, Oregon. Doug, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, one solution I thought of that might be one possibility is to take the $700 billion that they're proposing to Wall Street, instead give it back to the taxpayers, and then they would be able to pay off their credit cards to the banks and other things that they would need to pay off, and it would trickle up. We'd have a trickle-up solution rather than a trickle-down solution.
Well, Doug, you know, as great as that sounds, you know, and I know you're speaking with your tongue firmly planted in your cheek, you know that's never going to happen. You know, there was a little story going around the Internet that I've got. Maybe I'll give that to you here in just a little bit, about $85 billion for AIG. And in a very plausible way to make that whole thing work out, but it's never going to happen. Once money goes to Washington, it disappears forever. All right, it disappears forever. You can't track it. You can't find it. It's not on any report or balance sheet or P&L statement. It's just gone. You know that. If you live in America, you know that when money goes to Washington, it's never seen again. Never seen again. Rudy in Nashville. Rudy, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi, Rudy.
Hey, Rick. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I am furious. I am livid. I can't explain it. When is this going to end? What do we have to do? The automobile industry next? The airlines? You know, it's ridiculous.
Well, it's a solid step, Rudy. This is a solid step in the direction of a socialist state. Make no mistake about it. This is how it begins. If you can give it the bum's rush before the American people can figure out what's going on and before they can mobilize and strategize how to keep keep what is theirs theirs and hold the government at arm's length distance. If you can do it quick enough, if you can do it quick enough, you can start the path, start on the path to social to a socialized state. And that's what exactly what this is. God forbid that Barack Obama gets a key to the front door of the White House. We're halfway there. We're halfway to a socialist state. The American people need to rise up on this the same way they rose up against that blanket amnesty bill. This is Rick Roberts setting in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Rick Roberts, setting in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation. Michael, thank you so much for the opportunity once again. I'm always so pleased and privileged to sit behind Michael's mic when he was away from time to time. So, Michael, thank you for that. MichaelSavage.com. I want you to go there sometime today. Sometime today. Make some time. Sit down with a sparkling beverage or a cup of tea and take some time to see what is going on in your country. MichaelSavage.com. Also, Michael's fifth book, Psychological Nudity, a collection of 75 stories. Many of these stories you've heard or heard parts of or in some cases never heard at all. It's Michael's fifth book, and of course it's destined to be a bestseller just like the previous four, Psychological Nudity, Michael Savage's book. We're going to try to get those copies of those books in your hands in just a little bit. In the meantime, I hope you heard this, but if you didn't, Michael made a great comparison this week. He said the Wall Street moguls who have ruined our economy are just like the boiler room swindlers of the 1960s who conned investors with that small-time stock fraud. Now, you've got to hear the way he put it. It was great. Listen to this.
I go back so far that I know what a boiler room is on Wall Street. I knew someone who was in the boiler room business. He eventually went to jail. I've also watched The Sopranos. I know what a boiler room is. It's a phrase that is used for a... They were basically criminals who ran fake stock sales companies or operations, mainly penny stocks or out-of-market stocks. And they ran up fake reports, for example, in one of the issue programs, The Sopranos, again, to keep using it. I overuse it. I admit that. Many of you don't watch it. But I was very familiar with boiler rooms a long time ago because somebody tried to swindle me who ran a boiler room. I never invested, though. But they would take a company, let's call it Ajax Oil Company, and they would make fake stories up about Ajax Oil. They'd say Ajax is drilling in Oklahoma. And then the next report would say Ajax discovers large find of oil. Then the boiler room operator, one of the shysters in the operation, would call you up. Hello, doctor. I got a very hot investment for you. Ajax Oil just struck oil in Oklahoma. Doctor is busy guy. Oh, could you send me? Sure. We'll send you the report. But look, doctor, I can send you that report, but it's not going to arrive. In those days, there was no faxes yet. It won't arrive for a couple of days. I'm suggesting you tie it up right now because it's going to rise immediately. So the doctor says to the swindler, okay, I'll buy X thousand shares. Meanwhile, there was nothing. There was no oil. There's no Ajax Oil Company. It was created by the boiler room operators. It's no different to me than what the investment banks have been doing on Wall Street. In essence, they were all boiler rooms. If you analyze that they were selling worthless paper, how do they differ from the gangsters of the 60s who were running boiler rooms, other than they didn't have vowels at the end of their name? And I'm not saying that because I'm implying that anyone with a vowel at the end of their name is a gangster, but you get the picture. I'm doing broad strokes here. I don't have a lot of time. Now you say, well, these guys are not running a boiler room. Yes, they are. What was called a boiler room in the 60s is what an investment bank is today. The difference is the guys in the boiler room may not have gone to Yale. They didn't go to Harvard. Maybe their suits were a little sharper and their collars were a little higher. You know what I'm saying? They didn't go to the same schools and they spoke with a little rougher accent. But make no mistake about it, a boiler room in the 60s is what these investment banks are today. They're selling garbage and they had people investing in garbage and then they were trading the garbage for more garbage and making money on every trade. And now suddenly the house of cards is collapsing, and these boiler room operators are coming to us and saying, give me a check for $700 billion. So Congressman Issa says, no way this is going to happen. God bless him. You got Senator Bunning saying, What, are you kidding me? This is socialism, God bless him. Then you got even Charles Schumer, liberal Democrat, saying, well, how about a compromise, Hank? How about if I give you $150 billion to continue running the casino? And Hank says, no, I want the I need the whole $700 billion, even though I won't spend it. This is unbelievable how you people, you see, you've been led to believe it's too complex for you to follow. Use common sense. It isn't that complex. Now, how many times in your life have you started a business that's failed if you have not worked for a government agency? Maybe a couple of times you've tried and failed. I know I have. I've tried things that have not worked. They failed. But the mark of a man is not what he fails at, but what he succeeds at and whether he keeps trying. He could die a poor man and be the most successful man on earth because he kept trying. Because maybe the next hole that he bore, the wildcatter would have been a gusher, if you know what I'm saying. In other words, he didn't quit. He kept trying. That's all you judge a man by, whether he gives up or not. And so what I'm saying to you is, take a look at what's going on. Use common sense. Use household economics. Use Adam Smith's economics. Whatever you want to do, use any simple model and apply it to this matrix that they're putting in front of you, and you'll come up with the right answer. And what you're saying is, wait a minute. They've spent money that isn't theirs over and over again. They used instruments, fiduciary instruments that didn't exist a few years ago, and it's all collapsed around them. And so, therefore, now they want us to bail them out, and we should say no. Let them go out of business. They're saying they'll pull the whole country down with them. Are you sure of that? Are you sure they'll pull the whole country down with them? I'm not so sure of that. In fact, I think it would be healthy for the country to see a few banks go out of business. I mean these Wall Street investment banks. What's the big deal? What does it matter to me if they go out of business? Now, of course, when it comes to commercial banks, we can't afford to see that happen. Okay? What if you have your life savings in a savings bank, or you've put it into T-bills? We absolutely can't afford to see that happen. But why are we to assume that the collapse of another two investment banks is going to bring down the entire commercial banking system? Why? Why should we believe that?
That's great. That puts it in perspective for everyone. It's amazing. It is absolutely amazing. We're getting word now that congressional Democrats are now upset with congressional Republicans. Some are leaving the room. Barney Frank evidently stood up and started yelling. And now they're saying, well, the administration is willing to stagger the $700 billion. What stagger? What do you mean, stagger? You either need it or you don't. In either way, whether it's staggered or piecemealed, you don't need to get it from the American taxpayer. And Michael's right. This is no different than the penny stocks on steroids. That's exactly what's happened here. Barbara in Florida, you're on the Savage Nation. Hi, Barbara.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Long time listener.
Great.
Anyhow, I feel very strongly another name that should be out there is Alan Greenspan. I think he resigned just in time before the cards come tumbling down.
Well, you know, Greenspan, which I'm not a great fan of Greenspan, but he did hold hearings twice between 2003 and 2002 and 2005, warning that this was going to happen, that if they didn't, enact some type of oversight committee, if they didn't put something in place, these things were Fannie Mae specifically and Freddie Mac, these things were growing way too fast. They were getting out of control. And that if it came to this, it would have repercussions in the entire lending industry. So I don't know. I'd like to hear from him. I think I've got some audio of him back in 2002 or 2003. I'll try to find that for you if I can. But again, there are alternative ways to deal with this without overtaxing an already overtaxed entity, which is the American taxpayer. David in Ohio. David, how you doing?
I'd just like to remind people that back at the turn of the last century, 70% of all American business was expanded by their own capital.
Yeah.
And that's the Federal Reserve. It is the fourth bank, privately held bank, in a series of four up for this country, of outside influences.
David, good point. Very, very good point. David, are you a regular listener to the Savage Nation?
I'm becoming more so, sir.
Oh, that's great to hear. Would you like to have Michael Savage's fifth book, Psychological Nudity?
Well, I'd be honored, sir.
Is there any particular story? Have you been listening long enough to have a favorite story yet?
Yeah, the Tippy and his last ride in the garbage truck sound pretty interesting.
Well, David, stand by just a second. Stay where you are because I'm going to make sure. Michael has been very benevolent with his books and has said, I want people to have them. So feel free to give a copy away here and there. And so, David, we're going to give you a copy of Psychological Nudity, Michael Savage's fifth book. And you can get more information on that as well at michaelsavage.com. But please go there because up-to-the-date information about what's going on, because everything's changing hourly. You know, Barney Frank, I got this report just a moment ago from sources inside the Beltway. Barney Frank is making noise again. He's upset. He's yelling. He's screaming. And at the risk of being redundant, I want to take you back a few years. 2003, is that it? I think it was 2003. Again, the Bush administration was pushing for an oversight panel. They were pushing for legislation that would slow down this, what they viewed as out-of-control growth of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. And Barney Frank, who is now the chairman, this is what he had to say in 2003.
Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are not in a crisis. The more people, in my judgment, exaggerate a threat of safety and soundness, the more people conjure up the possibility of serious financial losses to the Treasury, which I do not see. I think we see entities that are fundamentally sound financially and withstand some of the disaster scenarios. And even if there were a problem, the federal government doesn't bail them out. But the more pressure there is there, then the less I think we see in terms of affordable housing.
Well, that affordable housing was sort of a catch-all because he and Schumer and all the rest were pushing and saying, wait a minute, we're redlining. Why are blacks disproportionately represented as homeowners? Why are Hispanics disproportionately out in the cold as homeowners? You guys need to get busy. You need to get on your feet here and find some way to make these minorities homeowners. So what did they do? They started making a loan to anybody that could breathe. They didn't even have to speak the language. Well, welcome to the bank. We'd love to make you a home loan. What's your name? He wants to know what your name is. Oh, okay. Thank you very much. Can you fill this application out for him? Great. Here are the keys to your new home. And you heard Barney Frank say then in 2003, well, even if there is a problem, they went by pretty quick, but he did say, even if there is a problem, the government doesn't bail you out. What's changed, Mr. Frank? What's changed? What's changed? Not in your personal life. I'd rather not go there. But as a representative for the people, what has changed in your mind? And I'm sure it's got something to do with some bad old Republican somewhere. Let's go to Lewis in New York. Lewis, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi, Lewis.
Here's a strategy. Michael is so dead on that this strategy just adds to what he did. But he's right on. We need a RICO law statute, civil RICO law statute, to bring these people into a court of law under federal law. Because under federal law, you don't have to prove intent to defraud. You just have to prove that it's reckless and negligent. And that allows you then to investigate and seize through civil forfeiture all of the money that Michael said was disappearing. We could find out through a legal court of law by something called a ducis tecum, the power to subpoena people and documents into a court of law. If every citizen filed a class A action lawsuit, civil RICO lawsuit, we'd have the largest class A action lawsuit in the history of this country, and we would resolve this under racketeering RICO law.
Well, Lewis, you know, I agree with that, and I agree with Michael. Something else, I think you can make the legal argument that what is being discussed behind closed doors at the White House right now is unconstitutional. If you go to the Constitution and look up the General Welfare Clause, it prohibits the government from doing exactly what it is doing, isolating specific institutions to help. That's not allowed for in the General Welfare Clause. If you're going to do it for one, you got to do it for everybody. And it was designed for that specific purpose. You sound like a pretty knowledgeable guy, and part of that's because you listen to Michael. But go to it's pretty easy to go to the computer and Google up the Constitution of the United States of America and then subheading General Welfare Clause. I think this whole thing flies right in the face of it, personally. All right, this is Rick Roberts sitting in for Michael Savage. You're on the Savage Nation. We'll take more of your calls. I want to try and get another book or two in your hands, if at all possible. Michael's fifth book, Psychological Nudity. And again, I know I keep harping on this, but it's so important. Get to michaelsavage.com at some point. michaelsavage.com. This is Rick Roberts, setting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Savage.
We have an agreement. I have voiced my concerns all along. I don't know if you have this, but I have a five pages of the leading economists in America that wrote to me and the leadership saying the Paulson plan is a bad plan. It will not solve problems. It will create more problems. We're rushing to judgment that we do have stress in our financial markets, but this is not the best way. We ought to look at alternatives.
I couldn't have said it any better than that. This is Rick Roberts, sitting in for Michael Savage. And, Michael, thank you sincerely for the opportunity once again. MichaelSavage.com. I need you to go there at some point in the day. And Psychological Nudity, Michael's fifth book, destined to be his fifth bestseller. We want to try and give another book or two away if we possibly can. Psychological Nudity, a collection of 75 stories you've heard on the Savage Nation. Some of these you've never heard. Let me do this very quickly. There are a lot of different alternatives, and this one, although tongue-in-cheek, makes as much sense as anything the Republicans or the Democrats have come up with, having to do with AIG. I'm totally against the $85 billion bailout of AIG. Instead, I'm in favor of giving $85 billion to Americans in a we-deserve-it dividend. That's it. We-deserve-it dividend. To make the math simple, let's assume 200 million bona fide U.S. citizens 18 and over. Our population is 301 million, but who's counting? Counting every man, woman, and child. The solution specifically excludes illegal aliens and every non-citizen. So, 200 million, that might be a fair guess at the number of adults 18 and over in the U.S. So, divide 200 million adults into 85 billion, that's 425,000 per adult. Now, here's the plan. We give 425,000 to every person 18 and up as a we deserve it dividend. Of course, it would not be tax-free, so let's assume a tax rate of 30%. Every individual 18 and up has to pay $127,500 in taxes. That sends immediately $25,500,000,000 right back to Uncle Sam. But it does mean that every adult 18 and up has $297,000 in their pocket. Husband and wife, $595,000. Now, what would you do with that $297,500 or $595,000 if you're a family? Pay off your mortgage, housing crisis solved. Repay college loans with a great boost to new grads. Put away money for college. It'll be there. Save in a bank. Create money to loan to entrepreneurs. Buy a new car. Create jobs. Invest in the market. Capital drives growth. Pay for your parents' medical insurance. Healthcare improves. Enable deadbeat dads to come clean or else. Now remember, this is for every adult U.S. citizen 18 and up, including the folks who lost their jobs at Lehman Brothers and every other company that's cutting back, and of course, those serving in the armed forces. If we're going to redistribute wealth, man, let's really do it. Instead of trickling out a puny $1,000, which is nothing more than a vote buy, economic incentive that's being proposed by one of the candidates for president. As for AIG, liquidate it. Sell off the parts. Let American General go back to being, here, how about this, American General. Sell off the real estate, like Michael Savage talked about. Let the private sector bargain hunters cut it up and come clean. We deserve it. AIG doesn't. It's a crazy idea. Never work, right? Well, maybe. But you can imagine the coast-to-coast block party we'd have. See, that makes perfect sense. You leave it up to the private sector, they'll figure out a way to make it work. That'd work, but it's never going to happen. Michelle in Medford. Michelle, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi.
Hi, how are you? I am so angry, and I'm 50 years old, and it's not hot flashes, okay? My husband and I have, you know, been business owners for years. We've, you know, we've failed. We've been very successful. And I guarantee you no one's been, we haven't been expecting anyone to bail us out for our bad decisions if things don't go right. And I don't understand why the Justice Department isn't investigating Barney Frank and his cabal of boys that he's surrounded with. And I'm so angry, and going back to Michael's website, they are so lucky they don't live in India.
Oh,
they drag drugged out and killed.
Amen. Yeah, you got to go to Michael Savage's website, michaelsavage.com, and it puts it in proper and great perspective for you. Michaelsavage.com. Get there as quick as you can. Michelle, thank you, and I'm glad to know you're not having hot flashes, too. This is Rick Roberts, sitting in for Michael Savage. Always a pleasure on The Savage Nation.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
$700 billion is a staggering and unprecedented figure, and there should be no misunderstanding about the dimensions of this proposal. $700 billion, for example, could rebuild the crumbling infrastructure in every town, county, and state in this country. A great deal is being asked the American people.
Yeah, it is, Senator McCain, and the American people, almost to a man and to a woman, are dead set against this. Is this going to be another replay of this administration working directly against the will of the people? You know the people don't want it. You know the taxpayers don't want it. There are alternatives that have been proposed. Daryl Issa, for one, I talked with him at length this morning. Many other alternatives other than going to the taxpayers. Will Washington listen? Will D.C. Take the cue? I'm afraid not. I'm afraid not, because they had too many other opportunities. You know what a GSE is, government-sponsored enterprise, right? The White House has been warning about Fannie and Freddie since April of 2001. Let me give you a quick timeline, just very quickly. You know, for many years, the president and his administration have not only warned of the systemic consequences of the turmoil at Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, but they also put forward some plans to reduce the risk. Either Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac would encounter these difficulties. They knew it. I mean, they've got economists working there. They know what's going on. Bush, whether you like him and whether you don't, and you know I've got a lot of problems with this administration, publicly called for reform 17 times in 2008 alone before the democratically controlled Congress acted. But let's go back, 2001 of April, April 2001. The administration's budget declares that the size of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac is a potential problem. Financial trouble could loom on the horizon. Democrats blocked it. 2002, May, the president called for disclosure and corporate principles contained in the 10-point plan for corporate responsibility, and they wanted it to apply to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Democrats blocked it. 2003, January, Freddie Mac announces, well, sorry, we're going to have to restate some of our financial results over the previous 3 years. Oops. February, same year, they released a report explaining that although investors perceive a federal guarantee, there's really no legal backing for them. Yeah, the pot starts to bubble now. September, twice in September of that year, Fannie Mae disclosed SEC investigations and acknowledged they found earnings manipulations. Later in that same month, the Treasury Secretary John Snow testified before the House Financial Services Committee. Well, we need to enact legislation to create a new federal agency because this thing's going nowhere. October, November, same thing. 2004, February, same thing. The budget highlighted the risk posed by the explosive growth of these GSEs. February, same thing. June of 2004, same thing. April 2005, John Snow, Treasury Secretary, repeated his calls for GSE reform, saying the events that have transpired since I testified to this committee in 2003 are amazing. We need reform now to ensure that our housing finance system remains strong and does not deteriorate. That was 2005. And I just played for you what Barney Frank had to say in 2005. No, it's not a sky is falling mentality. It's just fine. And besides that, if there is a problem, the government doesn't bail them out. I'd like to talk to Barney Frank one-on-one right now. 2007, July, August, September, twice. December, same thing. 2008. This is no surprise to Washington. The only people that are surprised about it are the taxpaying Americans that all of a sudden are being faced with bailing the Wall Street moguls out. They knew what was going on with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, yet they did nothing. This do-nothing Congress for the last 2 years did nothing except block everything that came out of the Bush administration. Everything. Illinois, Rob. Rob, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. How you doing, Rob?
Good, good. This is a flashpoint in American history, and we can go down a good road, or we can go down a bad road. And I think this is a great time for a true conservative, a real conservative, to step up and call a spade, say this is a scam. It's the biggest scam on the American people in the history of the country, and here's why it's a scam. You know, I think as a citizen, I'm tired of being treated like a dependent child who's being beaten by my father. You know, I understand how the world works, and I want a conservative to step up and really lay down the law and say, listen, this is what's going on. This is how we're going to fix it.
Well, where do you find the true conservative candidate? Where are they? Where, you know, you've seen what the GOP put up for their candidate, Senator McCain, which in my mind is not a true conservative. But, I mean, where do you find these people? Where do you go? Do you go to people like Daryl Issa and a few others and say, we need you to band together, a band of brothers, and go before the American people and let the proverbial cat out of the bag? How does this work, Rob?
Well, I think, you know, that's one way to look at it. But I also remember, if I'm not mistaken, on Michael's webpage, people petitioning him to run for office. He calls a spade every day.
Yeah, I agree with you. And you know, that thing gained a lot of momentum. You know, Michael talks to a lot of people. I mean, millions of people every single day. You know, he's been ahead of the loop on the Dubai ports. He's been ahead of the loop on so many things that Washington should know about and probably does know about, but they don't feed it to the American people. The only place you get it is on the Savage Nation, because Michael is not beholden to anybody. He can give you that information, and he's not beholden to anybody. And, Rob, yeah, we need a Michael Savage-type mentality in Washington. A lot of us would be a lot better off. I appreciate the call very much. Jeff in Washington. Jeff, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation.
Thanks, Rick. Hey, my question is, I guess maybe not even really a question, but if Paulson's been overseeing this under the Bush administration, now they all want to get their heads together with Bush and try to figure out a new plan, and they want to come up with a plan in the next 3 or 4 days to solve all the problems. If Paulson was overlooking all this during Bush administration, how do they think they're going to solve it in 3 or 4 days with a new plan if he couldn't oversee it and keep track of things?
What does Washington always do when they're trying to solve a problem? They throw money at it. As though money is the quick fix for everything. This thing didn't occur overnight. It's not going to be cured overnight. The best they can do is put a $700 billion Band-Aid on a severed jugular vein at the cost to the American taxpayer. At least that way they can figure it out as they go along. We just heard just moments ago that the meeting between the congressional Republicans and congressional Democrats didn't go very well. Some people left. Barney Frank stood up and made an ass of himself. I don't expect them to come up with anything that's going to work for any long term in the next day or two. It's impossible. I don't know how they could.
Yeah, I don't see that happening without the taxpayers, us, the people, taking it for that one. And I'm also hearing that they want to help out foreign banks who are having problems with their financial situations too.
Yeah, that's part of the original bailout. Was to not only include you know, worthless mortgages or paper mortgages, but also college loans, credit cards, foreign banks that are invested heavily in the American market. And you know, if you're going to do that, then you might as well just go ahead and rename the United States the USSR. I guess it just doesn't make any sense. This is socialism verging on communism. And the next thing that's going to happen, Jeff, is nobody can get a job in this country without showing up for the application process in a brown shirt. That's exactly what this is so far off the mark. You couldn't write a script for a bad movie the way that this thing has played itself out to the American people. You know, you couldn't get away with this. I couldn't get away with this. And the government shouldn't get away with this. New York, is it Moni? Hello?
Yes.
Yes. Go ahead.
Hi, Rick. I have three things. I want to tell you why I called. I want to tell you about the role in subprime and why is the bill going to pass, although the people don't like it. I called because you nailed it. Am I still do you hear me?
Yes, I hear you fine.
Oh, okay. You nailed it. The biggest concern is that this number, $700 billion, sounds more like a guess. This is very, very worrisome. The role of subprime is being used right now. I can tell you as a person who worked in this field, the defaults in a securitized pool of mortgages, the defaults in even a subprime securitized pool, is less than 10%. This cannot cause such a massive collapse. This collapse is caused by problems, by regulatory problems. Now, I'll tell you now why this bill is probably going to pass. They say they're worried about American people going through hardship. But then think about it. Are they really worried about us going through hardship? I don't think so, but ask yourself, what does hardship bring with itself? It brings political changes. So what does a political change mean? It means changes in the status quo. And this is why the status quo is now going to try to pass this bill. To me, it more looks like, to put it in simple terms, imagine you have a shot wound to the leg and you go to the ER, and they pour pills on your head, and then they put your leg in cast without treating the wound, and they tell you, well, trust us, it's going to be okay. I think you will be at least worried. What do you think?
Moni, I think you said I nail it. I think you nail it. This is a $700 billion Band-Aid. They don't know. You know, a trillion is probably a better guess than 700 billion. But just like with everything else in Washington, you just keep throwing money at it while you try to figure out how to fix it. And I don't know. I don't think they're concerned about the American taxpayer. I think they're concerned about keeping those relationships with Wall Street and D.C. intact. I think they're concerned about these big money brokers being able to keep their place at the table of power. I think they're concerned about the lobbyists that work on behalf of Wall Street, doing everything they possibly can to keep the status quo, as you said. They don't want to take a hit. They don't want to take a devaluation. They want to keep things, tomorrow just as bright as today in their particular world. And if a few American taxpayers have to take the hit, well, then so be it. What do they call that in wartime? Acceptable casualties, I think. Yeah, that's exactly what's going on within the borders of the United States. Michael says it best, the enemy within. Well, partner, you're staring them directly in the face, and they're coming after you. What are you going to do in the meantime? All right. This is Rick Roberts setting in for Michael Savage. You're on the Savage Nation. Savage.
We have determined that it is necessary to take action. Our economy and our markets will not recover until the bulk of this housing correction is behind us. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are critical to turning the corner on housing.
Well, thank you for that. Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson's $700 billion bailout of Wall Street is, without exception, economic fascism, pure and simple. That's what it is. This is Rick Roberts setting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Michael, thank you for the opportunity once again. It's always, always a privilege and a pleasure to be behind this mic when Michael is gone from time to time. The Savage Nation. I think D.C. needs a good dose of the Savage Nation. Go to michaelsavage.com for the very latest in breaking news. And everything is changing almost hourly now with the congressional Democrats and congressional Republicans at the White House and We got a report earlier that it's going bad, very, very bad. And, of course, Bush is he's there. McCain's there. Obama, believe it or not, he showed up. Obama is saying, well, let's take our time. Let's figure this out. Basically, what that means is I don't have a teleprompter. Somebody give me some 3x5 cards. That's basically what he's saying. But getting back to Paulson, Section 8 of this proposed plan says, and I'm quoting, decisions by the secretary pursuant to the authority of this act are, listen now, non-reviewable. You can't review them. And committed to agency discretion and may not be reviewed by any court of law or administrative agency. Are you kidding me? That's what it says. Economic fascism? I think so. That's exactly the definition. This is incredible. Paulson, who came to the White House from where? Hands? Yes, in the back. Goldman Sachs. He wants to be dictator of the bailout to Goldman Sachs and his other buddies on Wall Street. He's telling Congress, hey, just give me the money and walk away. Just walk away very slowly. Put the money down on the table. Just back up, keep walking. I'll take care of it. Sorry. No. The future of the nation and, quite honestly, the form of government we live under is on the line. Not only does Paulson want dictatorial powers, he wants to make taxpayers pay for every bad mortgage in America and then wants to make welfare queens out of his Wall Street cronies. This is a marriage of Wall Street and politicians that would make Benito Mussolini proud. It's wrong at so many different levels, I don't even know where to go with it. You've been hearing Michael talk about it all week long. How many different ways can the American people say no? How many different ways can we say no before the politicians in Washington get it? Kurt in Portland. Kurt, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi.
Hi, Rick. I have a comment, and then I have a question or a request of you.
Sure.
First of all, I'm a realtor, and I've seen what's been going on in the real estate market. We talk about redlining and the government making it much more easy for people to get homes that didn't qualify for homes. That has come down through the mortgage market. Mortgage brokers are making loans. They don't care if once that loan is made, if that person can keep making the payments. They have given their commission, and they're moving on. And that attitude has just permeated the whole thing. And so we look for someone to point the finger at. There's a whole bunch of people to point the finger at. And secondly, a request. A few moments ago, you made the comment, let's return that $700 billion back to the American public. You know, if that was done and the American public was able to, like you said, pay off their mortgages, what this country is all about is being able to do that. And we wouldn't have to repay anyone else.
That's it. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. This is Rick Roberts sitting in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation. This is Rick Roberts sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Michael, thank you so much for the opportunity. Always a pleasure and a privilege. Want you to make some time at some point today to go to michaelsavage.com. Michaelsavage.com. With, basically the fate of the nation hanging in the balance, things are changing by the hour in D.C. And you're going to find out right there on the Savage Nation website, michaelsavage.com. So you need to get there. Also, Michael's fifth book, Psychological Nudity. The first four were bestsellers. The fifth book, destined to be a bestseller as well. A collection of 75 stories. Some of you have heard them here on the show. Some of you have not heard them or heard portions of them. It's a great, great read. Psychological Nudity, Michael's fifth book. Well, Michael came up with this hilarious riff off the Pledge of Allegiance to update it for an era in which Wall Street looks like it's about to squeeze America for a cool $1 trillion. You got to listen to this and what he came up with. Go ahead.
I pledge allegiance to the stock of Goldman Sachs of Wall Street and to the gang for which it stands, one gang, indivisible, with liberty and profits for them.
She lies, she's only good.
United Soviet States of the United States of America, I pledge. I've come up with a new pledge for this country. Last night, as I was falling asleep after a full bottle of red wine, I couldn't sleep because these words started coming through my head. I pledge allegiance to the stock of Goldman Sachs of Wall Street and to the gang for which it stands, one gang, indivisible, with liberty and profits for them. And so we recorded it for you today because the country has fundamentally been taken over by a gang. Now, we hear about MS-13, we hear about the Crips, and we hear about the Bloods, and I'm sure they're to be worried about because they're violent and all of that. And, of course, they don't wear sharkskin suits or whatever they wear on Wall Street today and white shirts. They don't speak perfect waspies. They may speak different languages and with different accents, and the skin color, of course, is not white. But when you wake up and you realize that the country's been taken over by a gang that's far more dangerous than these other gangs, it is enough to put fear in your heart, lads. One thing I've learned is that I have a gallows sense of humor. I've had it all of my life because of youthful issues in my life. I learned that life is, let's put it to you this way. I wasn't raised with a mobile over my crib. I wasn't raised on Mickey Mouse. I wasn't raised on Donald Duck. I was raised in the stark black and white reality of another world. And unfortunately for you, it has worked for me all of my life. Now, I'm not saying I'm a happy man, because who is a happy man? Who is happy 24/7 but an idiot? I'm an ordinary man like you are. But when I wake up one day and I see that the country's been hijacked by a gang, I mean, I know that politicians are in it for themselves. We've all known that. And you learn to live with it your whole life. You know that some of the swindlers get caught and some of the swindlers don't get caught. And life goes on and America's still great. And then you wake up and you say, wait a minute, this is impossible to believe. That one man, Hank Paulson, who I've been telling you for at least months now, I said something's wrong with this hesitating Hank Paulson. I said, doesn't it strike you as odd that Goldman Sachs has created our secretaries of the Treasury for the last two or three times? That one investment bank on Wall Street has been running the country's finances for all of these years, under Bill Clinton as well, by the way. He had a fly fisherman faker who made my flesh crawl, whose name I forget. But the fly fisherman crawler is no longer there. It's Hank Paulson. And I've been saying something's wrong with the picture. He should have been forced aside months ago because of the appearances of a conflict of interest. Do you understand what I just said to you? And I also said to you last Monday on this show, actually it was Tuesday, I was out on Monday. I said to you last Tuesday on this show that Hank Paulson, Bernanke, and Chris Cox, and George Bush have done more damage to this country than Osama bin Laden. I was the first to say to you that everything that Osama bin Laden had dreamed of doing to this country by bringing down the World Trade Centers, and he was unable to do, or that we have overcome, this gang has done to us, and make no mistake about it. This is not the beginning of the end of our problems. This is only the end of the beginning of our problems. And to think that this guy has a pair of chestnuts on him, that he wants Congress to write him a check for $1 trillion, which says, not only do we want $1 trillion from your children's children's children, but we want a blank check and you have no oversight. Now, in a sane nation, of course, the government, if we had a legitimate government, would immediately act to arrest this man and slap him in irons and send him to Devil's Island. But as I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, we're no longer living in a sane nation. And today, of course, he'd be rewarded by being sent to Fire Island rather than to Devil's Island. So who do we turn to? Who do we, the little people, turn to? If the government itself, who is supposed to protect us, is fleecing us, and I don't mean fleecing us behind the scenes, I mean fleecing us openly and giving us the middle finger saying, drop dead, little man, you can do nothing, because we are God. We are bigger than God. We are, in fact, the universe. We are the masters of the universe. We believe in nothing but profit. Why, then what you do is you play pirate songs and you drink wine and you do whatever you have to do for your savings and you go to sleep and you come up with lyrics such as I did today on the Savage Nation as I fell asleep in a twilight last night after drinking again a good most of a bottle of the Sori San Lorenzo, the Gaia. I swear that Italian wine is my medication right now. I don't know how my mind works, but I'm a lucky man. My creativity never stops. Sick, happy, alive, half dead. No matter what, I'm still churning out ideas. Never stops, because I am the Mark Twain of our time. I pledge allegiance to the stock of Goldman Sachs of Wall Street and to the gang for which it stands, one gang indivisible, with liberty and profits for them. Ladies and gentlemen, please rip up the U.S. Constitution. Please get out all copies of the Bill of Rights. Please get out all copies of the National Anthem and throw them in the garbage. Throw them in the fireplace tonight. Because what I have read for you today is the new National Anthem of Goldman Sachs of Wall Street. We are no longer a nation. We are simply a subordinate group of serfs being run by the gang of Wall Street. This is the Savage Nation. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. I direct you to michaelsavage.com, where at least you can have a good time looking at the horror of our times. The stories are astounding, frankly. I've never seen anything like this. We've been collecting them over the weekend, and one story is worse than another. My top headline: Treasury Secretary scams taxpayers to bail out Goldman Sachs. That's one man's opinion. Not only are they scamming us, but they're switching over to becoming bank holding companies, which is utterly unbelievable to me. How does this guy Paulson get away with it? In his sane nation, the U.S. Marshals would have him in handcuffs. I don't understand this. Let me put it to you this way. Let's say a black kid sells some crack somewhere in America. He sells $300 worth of crack. He goes away for 10 years. But if you wind up on Wall Street and you rob $1 trillion, you get a statue built to you, which they put in Central Park.
It doesn't get any plainer than that. More succinct. Michael nailed it, as he always does. But please, as Michael said, go to michaelsavage.com. Michaelsavage.com. You're going to find the information you need to get through the day right there. Michaelsavage.com. Let's go to Virginia Beach. Talk with Chris. Chris, you're on the Savage Nation. Hi.
Rick, I'm just wondering, I just got back from Iraq, and I'm trying to figure out when the United States became so weak. I'm trying to figure out, you know, what's going on here. I've never seen it like this before in my lifetime. I'm 46 years old. You know, I come home, and I turn on the news. I see people like Larry King interviewing the leader of Iran,
Ahmadinejad. Yeah, that was despicable. That was a national disgrace. You know, Larry King's been in the business a long time, but that was a national disgrace.
It really was. I mean, he's asking him, you know, telling him how young he looks and asking him how many children he has. You know, I'm a retired police officer. I'm working two jobs now. I'm barely making it. And these people in Washington and Wall Street are screwing everything up, you know. And we elect these people. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, well, Chris, you know, the question that always comes to my mind when I hear Barney Frank or when I hear Schumer or Pelosi or Boxer or Reid, all the usual suspects, it makes me much more concerned about my fellow American than it does about the individual politician, because somebody's voting for these people.
Exactly, and I think what they need to do is start holding these politicians accountable, make them sign a contract. If you're going to promise that you're going to lower taxes, sign a contract. If you don't do it, you're done. You're fired.
Yeah. Well, Chris, first of all, and I mean this is not idle chit-chat, I do appreciate the service to the country, and that always angers me when I think we have called upon very brave men and women to go overseas to put boots on the ground for American interest. And then we sell out their homeland when they're gone. That's despicable. That's unconscionable. I mean, if Larry King had one shred of decency left in his body, such as it is, he would go on and take an entire show to do nothing but apologize to the brave men and women with boots on the ground overseas. I mean, to invite... I have no words. I think Michael went on about this, and rightfully so. Ahmadinejad, he wants to wipe Israel off the map. Yeah, the only democracy in that particular region, our friends. Why in the world would Larry King have Ahmadinejad on his show? And then let's just play devil's advocate for the moment and say, okay, well, he's doing it for ratings. All right, well, you're asking him, you look really young. My God, how old are you? Man, for a terrorist sympathizer, you dress pretty sharp. What is that? Is that 100% cotton? Let me feel that. I mean, it was absolutely, I was sitting there with my mouth open watching this. You're talking to the modern-day Hitler, Tong, and you're asking, well, so how many kids do you have? You have kids? You like to play with the kids outside? You throw does your dog catch a frisbee? Does he do that? I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I could not believe that's what we've come to in this country. Hitler can come to the United States, be welcomed with open arms, have dinners thrown in his, I'm sorry. I don't get it. And then Larry King, the original softball pitcher in America, has the audacity, when boots are on the ground in harm's way, that this guy has financed IEDs to blow him up. He's going to sit there and ask the guy, he's going to have happy chat with the guy. I couldn't believe it. I could not. I've seen some pretty low things on television, and I've heard some pretty low things on radio. And, I'm not pure as the driven snow. I've done some things on the radio that I thought, man, I wish I hadn't have done that. But never, ever, ever have I seen Hitler welcomed with open arms. And it was absolute. I will never, ever, ever. Not that he cares. And not that it's like spitting in the ocean and trying to determine the volume difference. I'll never watch Larry King again for as long as I live. Ever. I won't do it. I couldn't believe that. I mean, it's a disgrace. And every time I think about the politicians selling out our homeland, basically every port of entry has a giant garage sale stuck in the ground. We're all political whores. We'll go to the highest bidder. What do you got? How much change you got there, sailor? That's basically what's going on while we're asking brave men and women to fight for our interest overseas. We should be ashamed. The politicians should be ashamed. Washington, D.C., nobody should walk out in the light of day until they clean up their act. If not for us, the American taxpayers, at least for the people they asked to put their lives on the line. You want to disagree with the conflict in the administration? Be my guest. But you don't aid and abet the enemy by washing your dirty laundry and hanging it outside while guys are still trying to duck IEDs and AK-47 rounds. For God's sake, have a little decency. Yeah, I mean, you don't have that right as an American with boots on the ground to do this kind of thing and give our enemy the will to fight another day when another American serviceman could be killed. This is so simple for people to figure out, and they make it so damn difficult. I'm sorry. I'm Rick Roberts, setting in for Michael Savage. Michael, thank you for the opportunity. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Success of the surge is at the goodwill of the Iranians. They decided in Basra when the fighting would end. They negotiated cessation of hostilities.
It's hard to talk when you're making it up as you go along, but go ahead, Nancy, try.
Why do you think Bush, McCain, Obama, why don't they want to talk to you?
Oh,
you should ask that from them, don't ask me.
Well, you're regarded as...
We are for talks and dialogues.
But you've been regarded as a hostile state, and there are many things that Americans worry about with regard to Iran. You would agree that you are, for want of a better word, a controversial figure.
Controversial figure? You're talking to Satan incarnate, for God's sake, Larry. What are you thinking? This is Rick Roberts, setting in for Michael Savage. Michael, thank you, sir. I appreciate the opportunity from time to time. MichaelSavage.com. Go there. Spend some time at MichaelSavage.com. The Psychological Nudity, Michael's fifth book, destined to be his fifth bestseller. I promise you that. It's a collection of 75 stories, some of which you've heard, some you have not. And Michael went off on Larry King, I believe, the other day. And rightfully so. Rightfully so. Larry King, just for the record, you owe every American serviceman and woman an apology. Oh, why do you think, well, let's see, you're a controversial figure. No, he's a murderous terrorist. That's what a controversial figure. That's like going to Hitler and saying, you know, some people say you're off the mark. Yeah, just a tad off the mark. How you could invite Satan himself to sit there in front of you, suspenders and all, and throw softballs at this guy, one right after it. You know, Nancy Pelosi, I've written you off. I've truly written you off. I listen very critically. You wear headphones 4 or 5 hours a day, 5 days a week, every month, all year. You learn to listen critically. I can hear when you're just pulling the stuff out of the air. You don't have a clue what you're saying. Not a clue. You know, I'll forgive you that. You know, just as long as you stay out of the damn way. But Larry King, this is wrong. I want you to look in the faces of the mothers and fathers and the brothers and the sisters of people fighting for American interests, some of whom won't come home, and tell them, well, this is why I talked to the guy that is paying for the bombs to blow up American boys. I don't know. What was the question again? I mean, maybe it's time for Larry to bid a fond farewell to the TV camera. I'm sorry. I've got to shut up because if I don't, let me just go to a call. Joe in Tucson. Joe, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation.
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to be the one to point out the obvious thing. The reason that our government wants to bail out AIG and not, say, Bear Stearns or something is because that's where all their retirement funds are. That's where their 401k plans are and stuff. And they're just, you know, they're going to stick it to us in every which way possible, I guess.
If we let them, Joe. If we let them. Joe, you don't have a copy of Psychological Nudity, I'm guessing, right?
No.
Would you like one?
Yeah.
Okay. What's your favorite story that you're looking forward to? Do you listen often enough to get the stories from time to time?
Oh, yeah. I catch some of them sometimes.
All right. Well, you got a favorite?
From when spaghetti was pasta.
Yeah. A lot of people like that. I like that one, too. All right, Joe, you stand by. Going to make sure you get a copy of Michael Savage's new book, Psychological Nudity. Sacramento, Kathy. Kathy, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi.
Hi, Rick. Thank you so much for taking my call. There's two really important things I want to do from the bottom of my heart. I want to make an appeal to the American people. You know, I've listened to talk radio for two solid weeks from 9 in the morning till 9 at night, and the American people are venting in a fit, and they're taking it, you know, talking on the talk radio. But we need to take it to the streets. I really believe in grassroots effort. I look at what they're doing on Wall Street, in front of Wall Street tonight. We need to take it to the streets, get the TV cameras out, get the radio cameras there, you know, the radio stations, I mean, and we need to be out there picketing and boycotting this bailout, and we need to take it to the Capitol, to the steps, if it's in Washington, if it's in Sacramento, at the
Amen, Kathy. I couldn't disagree with you. You're absolutely on point. Kathy, hold that passion in your gut. Hold it there. This is Rick Roberts for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.